go ahead and read scripture so you guys can sit down. I'm going to start with 1 Peter chapter number 1, 3 through 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this place. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's gathered here in your name. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a roadmap for us to go by, Lord. God, I'm thankful, Lord, to be able to understand what you have told us in this hour and in this day, God. I'm asking you, Father, Lord, to minister to each and every one of us today through your word, God. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, to move me out of your way, Lord, and you just use me for your glory and for your kingdom, Lord. God, open all of our ears that we can hear you this morning, Jesus. God, and I ask you in all these things, I never want to fail to give the matchless name of Jesus the praise. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys my solid disclaimer that I promise you that I'm going to mess some words up. It's going to happen. If I'm going to read scripture to you, I probably am going to read something and my tongue is going to go blah, 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 and it's going to happen. I apologize in advance, but I will tell you this, that I do take this word of God very serious. I will tell you this also, that I do understand what Peter was saying right here, that this can be joy that is unspeakable, that it can be full of glory. Amen. And I know what God can do through his word. I know what he can do through when he touches you. Amen. And every one of us in here have seen the glory of God at one time or another manifest in our life, that we can give him the glory and the praise. And this is why I worship the way that I do. This is why I praise him the way that I do, because I know what God done for me. I know what God set me apart from. Hallelujah. So when you say these words like, yet believing, because you can't, I'm going to back up. Whom having not seen ye love. How can you love something that you have not seen? How can that be possible? How can you say those words and also say it like this, in whom, though now you see him not, yet you believe? How can you say those words? Those words seem to be, they seem to contradict each other, because you can't see him, but yet I love him. I can't understand him sometimes, but I love him. I don't see him, but I love him. Amen. I don't understand sometimes, but yet I still love him. But I can say these words, and I can say these words with fervor. Yet, believing, ye rejoice with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. That to me is just crazy sometimes when you think about what the world has to offer, because the world cannot understand that. They cannot understand what it's like to have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. They do not understand it. They just don't go together. How can you make a statement like this, that I have joy in the times of sorrow, but yet I do? How can I make a statement like this, that I have peace in the middle of turmoil, but yet I do? How can I make those statements? I'll tell you exactly how I can make those statements. It is through the finished work of Calvary in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. How can someone that does not know what you've been through sit back and look at you and say, how can they go through what they go through with and say, I can rejoice with him with joy that's unspeakable and full of glory? How can someone that has went through a terrible, terrible trial or lost someone and just be so upset, but yet they could still hold their hands up and worship with joy that's unspeakable and full of glory? To the world, they don't understand it. To the world, it just seems crazy. It seems like it's contradicting. It just don't work. But the way the world will tell you is that you're supposed to be sad in times of torment. The world will tell you that you're supposed to lose your joy and lose your peace in the middle of a battle, in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a war. You're supposed to lose these things. But yet what we talked about in Sunday school, Jesus said this. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So that is how a child of God can hold up and say in the middle of all this, even though I'm going through this, I still have joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can I have peace in the middle of a storm? Because I know the one that can speak to the middle of the storm and say, peace to be still. The disciples was going through a terrible, terrible storm at sea. They was going through something awful. And this man, Jesus, was laying asleep in the bottom of the boat. And if you know any history of the disciples, if you don't, I'm going to enlighten you. A lot of them was experienced fishermen. They knew what to do on the ocean. They knew what to do in the middle of the sea. They knew. They had been through storms, I'm sure, time before and time before that. But in this storm, they got afraid. They was afraid. Now think about what kind of storm that could have been, because these are experienced fishermen. These are experienced men that have been on the water most of their life. It's their trade. And they was afraid. So I can imagine how much the waves and the wind was whipping through there. I can imagine if it made an experienced sailor afraid. But this man Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. He had joy that was unspeakable and he was full of glory. He knew what it was like to go through a storm and just go to sleep, because the storm really does not matter, because my faith, or he's secure. Hallelujah. So he walked up in the middle of this storm, in the middle of this trial, in the middle of this waves and wind and all, and said, peace to be still. And the Bible describes it as a great calm. Not just calm, it was a great calm. That is awesome, to be going from one extreme to the other in a moment. So I'm telling you right now that there's times in your life when you need to speak to the trial that you're going through. There's times when you need to speak to the place that you're going through and speak peace to be still. Hallelujah. And you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. God is good to me. He's so good. Hallelujah. He's awesome. Hallelujah. He's so good. How does one say that everything that is okay when the world is crashing down? How can you say that when your whole world is falling apart, but yet you can say that I'm okay? Because some of us have a revelation and a grasp on what is future to come. Hallelujah. That this is only temporary. What I'm going through right now, maybe just for a little bit, but my faith is secure in eternity in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm not taking it as something that you go through lightly. I'm not. Because I've been there. We've all been through some things. We've been through some really serious things. But yet God is faithful through every single one of them. Every single time. Hallelujah. It still doesn't seem grammatically correct, though, for somebody to say these statements. That I can have peace in the middle of a storm. That I can have joy in the middle of war. That I can have joy in the middle of torment and turmoil. It don't seem like it. They go together. They just don't mix. Just like if you have something that's hot, it can't be cold at the same time. If you have something that's big, it can't be small at the same time. If you have something that's light, it can't be dark at the same time. They just don't go together. They just don't work. It just don't fit. It just don't mix. I'm just impressed that I said grammatically correct and I didn't mess it up. But in the middle of all that, I can say that I have peace in the middle of war, and that don't go together. I can say that I have joy in the middle of turmoil, and that don't go together. But I'm not part of the world, amen. I'm not part of what this status quo of everything else going on around me. My hand is in His, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the world is impossible, but to God it is not. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't think like God. God is, He is wisdom. We might have a little bit of wisdom in our life, but He is wisdom. Amen. We might have a little bit of knowledge in our life. He is knowledge. So we don't think like Him. And you got to understand some things. Like Peter said, that you're going to go through some things. It's a trial of your faith. That is tried like fire. It's tried like gold in the fire. You're going to go through some things as a child of God. But you just hold on. Your victory's coming. You just hold on and God will see you through it. Amen. He's not going to leave you. Hallelujah. He's not going to leave you. So when Isaiah wrote it like that, he said, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Yes, He is. I can't speak anything into existence. I can't speak nothing into existence. I can look at a tree and see something that I can make it into, but I cannot, no matter how much I try or how much I wave my hands or do any kind of crazy whatever. It will never turn into a chair. It takes application. It takes something, me doing it, but this is God who spoke it all into existence. This is the one that said, let there be a star here, and it's there, that hung on nothing. It's just there. The one that spoke the whole world into existence. The one that told the wind when to blow, or the light when to shine, the sun when to shine, rather. That's the God that we serve. So His thoughts are way higher than our thoughts. And His ways are way higher than our ways. We can't think like Him. So that's how sometimes the world gets so confused. When they look at us and say, how can you have peace in the middle of this? I had a guy tell me not too long ago, he said that a Christian life is the hardest life to live. And he believed that. And I said, I'm not going to buy into that garbage because that's not true. Your life without Jesus is hard. Your way without the Lord God Almighty living in you is hard because my fate is secured in Him. Hallelujah. I don't go to bed at night worried about where I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'll go to bed at night with peace. Hallelujah. Because I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. The life of a Christian is not hard. It's not hard. It's hard on your flesh. Yeah, that's all it's hard on. But it's not hard on you. The life that I live with peace. How can you say that you don't have... How can you go through things and have peace and not look at somebody and say, you're missing out. You are missing out because you don't have this in your life also. So that's why I want to tell every person that I run into that there is joy that is unspeakable and is full of glory. Every person needs to understand that there is things you're going to go through, but yet you can go through it believing with joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. In the moment, let me go to this first. 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12 and 10 says this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities, in some persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Why? Because He said it like this, for when I am weak, then am I strong. How can those words there go together? How can you be weak and strong at the same time? It just don't work like that. It don't. It's totally opposites. It's like light and dark together. They don't mix. Light outweighs the darkness. And just like heat or hot and cold, you can't put hot water in cold water. And they just don't mix. You can't make one out of the other. You get warm. That was a scientific lesson if you didn't know that. But Paul said it like that because he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. And he didn't say, when I'm weak, I'll be strong after a while. He didn't say, when I'm weak, when I get over this, I'll be strong. He said, when I am weak. So when you are going through this, when you are weakest at your moment, then you are strong. Hallelujah. That's when you have the power of God can rest upon you because... when we do it our own way, when we try it our own way, when we're strong-minded and we're pushing things through with our own hands, we mess it up. But when we get so weak that we can't go another step without Him, when we give Him the whole battle because He's the only one that can take you through it, that's when you get strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul didn't say it, when I'm in the valley, that's when I'm strong. He didn't say when I'm in the moment, that's when I'm strong. He didn't say when I'm in trouble, then I'm strong. He said, no, when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Not after the fact. Not when I come out of the valley. While you're in the valley, you can be strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to wait until it's over. You don't have to wait till your trial is over to understand that the strength that you have inside of you. You don't have to wait until you are just over it, finally through this valley, finally through this storm to say that I'm strong. You could say you're strong now, because the Bible tells us to let the weak say they're strong. See, I told you I was going to mess something up. But I know where my faith is security, and I know what I have my hope in. I know that through Jesus Christ, I can do all things. Amen. I know that I can. Hallelujah. Because He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Glory to His name. You don't have to wait till it's over to say, even when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You don't have to wait. You could say it now that I am strong. Yes, I'm strong. I'm strong because I know who's in me. Hallelujah. I'm strong because of He who is in me. You can look at the middle of this, at the trial that you're facing, and no matter what you're going through, whatever's bothering you, they will always say that you're weak. You can look at it square in the face and say, no, you're wrong. That's when I'm strong. This is where I'm strong at. Because I know that the Bible says that the strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. I understand that. We're going to go through moments when we're weak. We are. But if we would truly understand our identity in Christ, if we would truly understand who we really are, if you would really truly understand that the power that lies within you, not because of you, amen, not because of what you've done, but the power that lies in you from Jesus Christ, you can do all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even though you're wounded, you're still strong. Even though you're marred, you're still strong. Even though you're tired, you're still strong. Even though you're going through it, you're still strong. You are still a child of God. I am a child of God. I don't know how many times I've had to stand and tell the devil that I'm a child of God. And I'm going to repeat what Dave was mentioning about Sunday school. If you missed it, here it goes again. Jesus was standing at the banks of the river, and John the Baptist baptizes him. And the heavens opened up and said, behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my Son. Now think about it, an audible voice coming out of heaven saying this. This is my beloved Son. This is Him in whom I'm well pleased. And the Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus was sent to the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil comes to Him and says, if thou be the Son of God. So you think about what the devil tried to do to Jesus Almighty. Don't you think that he's going to try to pull you through it too? He's going to try to convince you that you're not a child of God, but you got to understand that if he tried to convince Jesus Christ that he was not the Son of God, what do you think he's going to do to you and I? He's not going to hold anything back on us either. So I'm here to tell you that you really are a child of God. Hallelujah. You really are one of his. I'm bought with a price. I'm paid for by him and by his blood only. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. So the devil has been trying to steal identities for years and years and years. He's tried. He's tried to steal, and this is how he started. Isaiah 14 says this. Verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? This is why, for thou hast said, this is what the devil said, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my name above the stars of God. I will sit down upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Identity theft is not something new. The devil started it. He's the one that started this whole thing, because from right here, he said, I will be above God. I will do this and I will do that. He tried to exalt himself against God, and God cast him out of heaven. So identity theft is not something that's something just come up in this day and age. No, sir. Identity theft happened in Isaiah when he told about Lucifer trying to take his place above the throne of God. But I'm here to tell you that the devil tries to steal the identity that you and I have also. But he don't want to steal it to use it for his own good. He wants to steal it to keep you from using who you are. He don't want to steal your identity so that he can be like me. He wants to steal my identity so I can't be like Christ. It would do him no good to steal Jason O'Neill's identity. I ain't got nothing. But if he stole my identity of who I am in Christ, that would crush me. Because I am a child of God. I am his. Amen. I am his. And you are his. I don't have to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Yeah, we got worries, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't. I was worried 30 minutes before church started because I'd done Sunday school and preaching. I can't help it. But I do know that I am a child of God, amen. And I do know that he's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And I don't know why that I get tore up about it, because it's not really me anyway. It's the Spirit of God in me. Yeah, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to mess some words up, and I'm going to get up here and I'm going to fumble some words, but who cares? God be the glory. Hallelujah. God be the glory. You do not define yourself by what is going on around you, but you by who is inside of you. Understand that. Understand that. Don't define yourself by what's going on around you. You define yourself by who's inside of you. It don't matter what's going on around you. That's why a child of God can hold his head up in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a torment and turmoil. He could hold his hand up and say, that's why I have peace and joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. That's why. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. The devil got started by trying to portray somebody that he wasn't. That's how he got his start. That's how he became the devil. That's how he became the little red thing with the pitchfork. Like, no, that's not what happened. He was a beautiful angel. He was very beautiful. He was, I don't even remember how it says it, but the guy was a good-looking dude. And he got people to follow him and try to entice him and get him to come. And he's like, come on, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And they followed him. And whenever he exalted himself above God, that's when God cast him out. So that's how the devil came to fruition. That's how all this evil thing came about. Don't think for a second that he's trying to steal the identity of you for you. He's trying to steal what's inside of you to let you know that you're not a child of God. But I'm here to tell you that you are a child of God. You have been bought with a price. Your name has been sealed until the day of redemption. He tries to rob you of your identity, not so that he can use it. He tries to steal it so you can't use it. Think about that. He don't want to steal it from you because of who you are. He wants to steal it because of who's inside of you. He wants us to forget. It's so easy for us to get wrapped up and forget these things, to forget who God is and what God done for us. But there's times and moments, and we've all gone through it. I'm just going to go ahead and share it to you for a testimony. I can go through a middle of a trial, just be in the middle of it. And I can understand what Job says sometimes. I can understand, God, where are you? I've looked in front of me and I can't find you. I've looked beside me and I don't know where you are. I've looked behind me. I don't know where you are, God. And the whole time, God is right there. He's right there. And there's been many times that I have been blinded myself and not knowing where the King was. And I've been trying to find him, just looking and praying, trying, and don't feel like my prayers are getting out of the car. Feel like my prayers don't even get off the ground, but yet he hears every single one of them. He hears the cries of his people. So in the middle of all these trials, in the middle of all these things, and I can't get to where I cannot find him, I'm going to give you a word of advice. That if you just start praising him, if you just start opening up your mouth and say, God, I don't know where you are right now, but I know where you brought me from. God, I don't know what happened to me before, but I do know what you did for me. I know that you have set me free. I know that you brought me out of a life of darkness. I know that you wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Watch what God can do. Watch what he can do. Start praising your way out of the valley, and God can move mountains right in front of you. I'm in the middle of a storm and be so heavy that I don't even want to raise my hands in the church. Don't even want to raise my hands in worship. But something happens when you muscle through it. Something happens when you just... To God be the glory. Something happens when you start praising His name. Hallelujah. So don't matter what you're going through. It does not matter. And I say that wholeheartedly. It does not matter. God is still greater. I'm not taking your situation lightly. Don't take it like I put it like that, because I understand that we are going to go through some things. And some trials are harder than others, and some valleys are deeper than others. But I will tell you this, that God is greater than everything. God is greater than it all. There's nothing that you're going through that's too hard for Him to pull you out of. He is God, and beside Him there is no other. I'm thankful that He's God. I'm thankful that I have a way out. I'm thankful that I have a way of escape. I'm glad that I've got a refuge. I'm glad that I've got a rock. I'm glad that I've got a tower. I'm glad that I have a high place that I could go to, a strong tower that I can run into for safety and security, because I cannot live on my own. I can't do this on my own. The pastor has told us before, he said his testimony of how God spoke to him through a minister. He had never heard it put like that you can't make it on your own. You can't do this by yourself. That ought to resonate in every one of us. We can't make it on our own. We have to have Jesus in us. And when I accepted Him, when I finally stopped running, when I finally gave in and stopped running, when Jesus got a hold of me, man, I was like, why have I wasted so many years? Why did I run from Him so long? To God be the glory. I'm thankful that I got in before it was too late. I'm thankful that I got in and I gave Him my life. Because my life was headed in the wrong direction. My life was headed towards the total wrong direction. But God got a hold of me. God is greater, amen. God is greater. Hallelujah. Aaron, you guys can go ahead and come up. I'm going to cut you guys a little bit short today. The devil tries to steal your testimony. Don't you dare let that slime ball steal your testimony. I'm going to tell you guys this, and I mean this with everything in me. There's been times that the devil has told me that nobody wants to hear my testimony again. That's the perfect time for me to get up and give it. Because you never know who's sitting in front of you that needs to hear that God is greater. There's times when you don't understand, when you're in the middle of that, when you're in the midst of an addict that was also addicted to the same thing that you was addicted to, that they need to hear that God can set you free. So don't you let Him steal your testimony. Don't you let Him tell you don't know what you're talking about, because you do. God has wrote this word on my heart for a reason. He's gave me the testimony that I have for a reason. That I could preach the word to somebody. I could speak a word to somebody with experience and tell them, yeah, I've been there. I've been in the same place you are, but I know God's greater. I know that God can free me. I know that God can free you from this. I know God can set you free from that. Philippians 4 says this. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. We got a God that's coming. We got a Savior that's coming, and He's coming after a bride that has made herself ready. There's a heaven or there is a hell. It's one or the other. There is no in between. This ain't no color and book session. It's nasty. There is a hell, and it is hot. And it is after your children. If you do not be the man or woman of God in your life to your children, the devil would love to steal them. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I've got a need. But if I shut my mouth and I do not give it to God, I'm still going to have the need. God said to cast all of your cares upon me, for I care for you. Cast all of your cares. And I don't know if you guys heard it or not, but Brother Eddie told us what all means. It means all. There ain't a care that you got that God don't care about. He cares. He cares. He cares. He cares more than anybody that you know. You could go to a therapist all you want to. They're just paid to sit there and listen to you. They don't care. They don't care. But we're talking about a God that gave His only life for you and for me. That's care. That's love. That's real. And this is, I love this scripture. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Everything that you went through, you could still hold your hand up with peace. Everything that you've ever went through, you could still hold your hand up with joy. You could still hold it up with peace and joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Doesn't matter what you're going through, you can hold your hand up because God is greater. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of us have ever lost our mind before? I've lost mine. But the peace of God shall keep us. We've got a place we can run to when you feel like you're losing it all. You've got a place to run to. You've got a place that you could call upon, a God that you could call upon, and His name is Jesus. These last scriptures is what I want you guys to resonate in your spirits. I want this to resonate with every one of us because there's so much going on around us. There is so much going on in the news, so much going on in your workplace, so much going on in the school, so much just garbage everywhere. Everywhere you look, you can find no peace, you can find no hope, you can find no joy. But Paul knew what he was talking about when he said it like this: finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't think about what's going on. Think on these things. And don't get me wrong. I understand a battle. I understand a torment. I understand a trial. I understand what it's like to go through things. I understand. I've been there too. But I do understand that if you think on these things, God will pull you through them. He's never left me. He's not left me one time. Not one time has He ever left me broken. Not one time has He ever left me hurting. Not one time has He ever left me wounded. He's always come back. He's always come to me and cleaned me up and dusted me off and said, stand up now, son. You're my kid. You're my child. You are mine. I bought you with a price. So those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So back to our very first scripture. This is how I could go through something and still have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. This is how I could go through some things and not understand at all, but still hold my hand up with joy and with peace that's unspeakable and full of glory. God is greater than any battle. God is greater than any trial. God is greater than any torment that you've ever been through. God is greater. So that's my challenge to all of us now. As we stand and they sing this song, I want you to, whatever is bothering you, whatever is holding you down, whatever is messing with you, I want you to give it to God. I want you to do what the Bible says and cast all of your care upon Him. He said this. He said that not one sparrow falls to the ground that your Father don't know about. Think about that. How many birds have you ever seen? All of them that you've ever seen, any time, if it falls to the ground, your Father knows about it. But yet, He cares for you. He cares for us. He cares for all of us. The Bible said that He came to see about us. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the affliction, He came to see about me. He came. So that's my challenge to everyone. While they're singing this song, if you have a worry, if you have a care that you have not given to Jesus, I want you to hold your hands up and give it to Him. Cast all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you.
That's true for you. Let's sing that again.
You met me at my lowest moment. Oh, you saw me at my very worst. When I expected disappointment, love was all I heard. My sin was deep, your grace was deeper. My shame was wide, oh, your arms were wider. My guilt was greater.